You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Move the Sticks. DJ and Bucky coming to you live from all the way across the country in my, I would say, spacious hotel room, but that wouldn't be honest here in Tampa. Not very spacious.
I'll call it intimate. A nice, yes. Intimate hotel at the Don Cesar.
Yeah, the Big Pink Lady here in Tampa. Pink Lady. Or St. Pete, I should say.
St. Petersburg. Beach.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. A little overcast, but I heard it's a little rainy out there in Southern California, so I think we won the weather so far.
Yeah, we have. It's a little cold. A little chilly.
Yeah.
A little chilly.
But I'm digging the practices at Tropicana Field here for the East-West Shrine game, and then we'll be on our way to Mobile for the Senior Bowl. We won't spend too much time talking about this game. This game is, I hope you all tune in and watch it Saturday on NFL Network, but this is more of, you're talking about day three guys, Buck, you know, fifth, sixth, seventh round picks for the most part. When you have this many underclassmen declare, it's a trickle-down. You've got 120-plus underclassmen. Then we've got the kids at the Senior Bowl, which is the high-profile bowl game. And then you've got the East-West here in the NFLPA game. So this game used to be, you know, getting some third-round picks, maybe it's sprinkling a second-round pick every now and then, and a bunch of 4s, 5s, 6s, and 7s. Now it's a little bit further on because of all these underclassmen.
Yes, a little further on, but sometimes this game can still be the launching point for some of the guys that we've talked about in the pros. Josh Norman was a guy that played here. We saw Jimmy Garoppolo.
Oh, last year we saw a guy that's going to the Pro Bowl for the Denver Broncos.
We saw Philip Lindsay. Yeah, so this is a nice place. You're looking for the hidden gems, the guys that maybe you overlooked on your first visit. They come up here, they show up, they play well. They have an opportunity to certainly help themselves. So I am excited to see some of the lesser-known names kind of make their way, their way up the ranks.
We're going to have all your needs covered there on this game on the broadcast on Saturday. A microcosm of the draft class as a whole. It's a good defensive line group. When you look at the group down here. So we'll have a chance to talk about them on Saturday, and we'll go see some big-time players down there at the Senior Bowl next week. But let's get to these early declarations, Buck. I want to get to some NFL stuff in a minute. And I also have a crossover conversation. Had an interesting plane flight sitting next to an executive from another sport, and I want to get into that. So we'll get into that in just a little bit. But at the top here, gosh, I think 125 was the number. I don't know if that's the official number, but the number of underclassmen is unreal. Remember when there used to be like 50?
Man, I just can't imagine like trying to keep up with all the underclassmen that are coming out. If you're a director or a national scout and trying to kind of do it the way that you're supposed to do it and hold off on waiting, I think
you got to do them in the fall.
You have to do them in the fall. You almost have to ask questions to those around the program in the fall because there are so many underclassmen. And the thing that has always been scary in my mind in dealing with underclassmen, you never got enough information. Like you're always saying, oh, we'll catch up. We'll get that. Not enough time to get the background info to really figure out their character, the football character, and their moral character to just really figure out what the kid is. And so right now scouts are scrambling. They're hustling. They're going all over the place, making phone calls to the liaison, trying to figure out how they can kind of put the finishing touches on these profiles. So much is to be determined. And so the combine for the underclassmen really becomes big because they really have to kind of show themselves well in terms of not only what they do on the field at the workouts, but how they come off, because not a lot of runway when it comes to kind of evaluate these dudes before the draft.
No question. And the biggest name that announced very late in the process, Kyler Murray. We've talked about Kyler Murray plenty here on the podcast, but it was interesting, Buck. I'm anxious to hear what you got when I'm sitting in the stands at East-West practices and sitting with the general manager and talking with some other executives around the league. And I make a point, I don't know how you are on this, but when I want to get some information on quarterbacks, I want to go talk to teams that have one.
Yep.
Because there's no reason for them to lie to you. Just yep. give me the straight facts here. I said, a franchise quarterback, they're not in that market. Kyler Murray, what do you think? He goes, have you seen him? And I go, not in person, not live. He's got an explosive arm. I said the 5'9" thing is not ideal, no question, but I think I can kind of – he's a DJ, it's not the height. He might weigh 185 pounds. Russell Wilson, you go back and look it up, I want to say 215 maybe, mm-hmm. that thick build. He's like, I don't see how he can hold up. So that's more for people. Everybody's talking about the height, but to me, talking to folks today, it was all about the build. I don't know what you got talking to your guys.
It's so funny because I had this conversation with a couple of different scouts, and we were kind of holding court, and we were going on the Kyler Murray thing, and they were talking about, like, he's crazy. Like, why wouldn't he play baseball? Then we're talking about the money and all those other things. Then they're like, hey, I've known him since high school. Like, I understand what he is. They're like, man, he is so small. He's little. I think he's about the size of my kid. And when you look at him with Tua, he said, man, he's towering over him. He said, then check Baker Mayfield's timeline, because maybe Baker tweeted out something about Kyler Murray. And he said, it looks like Baker looks like he towers over him. So then we're going through the conversation. They're like, man, I just don't know if I could ever do a small quarterback like that. So then this is a team that already has a franchise quarterback. I said, okay, let's play this exercise.
You want to play against them?
I said, well, no, let's play this exercise. You're a team that needs a quarterback. And let's just say, okay, Dwayne Haskins is gone. Mm-hmm. Let's say Drew Lock is gone. Let's even say Daniel Jones is gone. Yeah. Okay, so here we are, and it's Kyler Murray and Will Greer. Who are we taking?
Yeah, we're going to take Kyler Murray.
Right, so it's Kyler Murray and who else? So I said, worst case, we can say that let's take all the bigger, stronger guys or whatever. Let's take them out. So those three go. Who else is going before him?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you can't make it a reasonable case based on the player, can we? No.
You'll love this. I had a conversation with somebody this evening. I said, what do you think about – everybody's talking about this guy, Kyler Murray. It's a topic of conversation. I said, what do you think of Kyler Murray? He said, I watched a lot of players this fall. He said, Kyler Murray is the second fastest dude I watched this fall. I go, really? He goes, only dude faster than him was the one he was throwing it to.
You know, and so that's
– Hollywood.
And so that's the unique thing. And I was telling them, I was like – because the guys are – they're like, man, you can't take a quarterback that is that small. I said, we can't. I said, I used to think that we couldn't take a corner over a pass rusher.
Yeah.
I used to think that we couldn't take maybe a 6-foot quarterback at number one.
Yeah.
I also thought that we couldn't take a guard in the top 10. I said, all those old rules are out the door. I don't know what to think about the draft now. And they were like, yeah, you're kind of right. I said, look, if we go by how a person plays, there's no doubt he's one of the top players in college football. He's one of the top players in this class. It is really a matter of what are you comfortable with. And they said this to a man. They said, it really depends on what your comfort level is as a general manager.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a long-tendered general manager
who
has some security, you don't mind swinging and missing if you miss on him. He said, but if you're one of those guys that
– gotta have just, it right now. Gotta have
just,
it.
You just got the job. He's like – he said, because if you miss, everyone's like, you should have known that he wasn't going to make it.
Yeah.
Whereas if an established guy does that, okay, swing and a miss.
Look, everything ebbs and flows, and we'll see where we are when we get closer to the draft. But I would say, based off today, talking to folks, it felt more like Kyler Murray was back end. More like guys coming back into the bottom of the first round. We saw with Lamar Jackson go 32nd last year. I don't think he's going to go in that top 10. There's two or three teams, quarterbacks. Yeah. I don't think he's going to be in the mix for those guys because there's risk. Legitimate risk here. A, he could go play baseball at any point in time. B, it's not just the height, it's the bulk as we're talking about. So there's some risk. Now, that being said, it is A, you're not choking up. You're gripping the bottom of that barrel and you are swinging for the fences. You might hit it out of the park on him.
You may hit it out of the park. And so when we think about those teams, I think it'd be interesting, the teams at the bottom of the first round teams that may not have an immediate need. Now, I'm going to mention this team's name, and I'm going to say the New England Patriots. And the only reason I'll say that is because Tom Brady may have a year or two. Bill Belichick is established, firmly established as a long-term coach. And Josh McDaniel, the offensive coordinator, has kind of made this move before when he took Tim Tebow, which was kind of off the grid.
Yeah.
And when you think about all the unique things and how the Patriots really play, because you obviously just saw him this Sunday.
Yeah.
You talk about screens, quicks.
He can do all
that
stuff.
Like, in that offense.
They're one of the teams that met with Lincoln Riley, if I'm not mistaken. The Patriots are. Josh McDaniel spent some time with him.
So, it's just something to consider. Yeah. Like, one of those teams, like, hey.
Everything I was told, too, is they love him. They love him at the school.
I mean, he's a really good football player. I think it's going to challenge whether we are still a scouting community that values production and performance, or do we value the potential and the traits.
Can you believe if we talked about this 5 years ago, Buck?
I can't. Like, we wouldn't have
had the discussion.
We wouldn't have had this conversation. He would have been a good little player. We would have talked about him in the meeting.
Take a flyer in the sixth or seventh round.
And then what we would have done is everyone would be like, hey, man, this is a really good football player. Where do we want to put him? Oh, at the six.
Yeah, that's it. That was the discussion. Move on.
Move on.
It is really fascinating. The some other underclassmen, Alabama's seven dudes came out. And I have my top 50 that's coming out, and I believe it's coming out next week. So I've got it pretty much in order. I'm just finishing up the summaries right now, Buck. But Josh Jacobs might have a nosebleed. He's so high on my list.
Oh man, there are people that really really like him.
You're talking
and they're talking. I'm talking about people that went in there early.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, haven't done it as the National Scout. You go in there in September, you don't get a chance to go back in and see him. And so you're like, yeah, I gave him like a second-round grade just based off what I saw early in the year off two or three games. But now you're looking and you're like, ooh.
All right, I'm going to do this. This is kind of tricky doing this on audio. But Bucky's got great reactions. So I just pulled out my phone right now because when I was doing somebody else, This is a play from Josh Jacobs. I'm going to show you. He's not going to carry the ball. He's not going to catch the ball. He's not going to touch the ball. But I'm just going to let the play run. Bucky, you can kind of do a little bit of play-by-play, and you tell me what you see from Josh Jacobs. They're in the shotgun, and he's a little sidecar
to the left. Jalen Hurts takes it. Little lead block. Wow. Look, so on this play, it's just a jet sweep. Guy comes in motion. They hand it to the receiver coming around the corner. Jacobs is lead blocking. And he literally uproots the defender.
Look where the contact
knocks him.
Where does the contact start? Look at where the contact starts, and look where the defender ends up.
Look at it. He's probably about 4 yards from the sideline. The guy lands on the paint. He lands on the paint. And so anyone who has kind of been around it, like if you've been in the weight room, we talk about power cleans and explosiveness.
Twitch.
That video, that little clip there, just displays the explosiveness, the toughness, and the physicality. And so when you look at the way that he performed in the end, in the championship game, when we saw him down the stretch, everyone talked about the other running back.
Yeah, Damian.
And then you had the big
sophomore kid from the Bay Area.
Right. Yeah. And then Jacobs comes, steals his thunder.
Yep.
And a draft where we wonder if there's really going to be a legitimate number one running back. This guy goes to the top of the charts because his explosive potential – makes him where he's kind of like his new school back.
I had this talk with a personnel executive. He goes, how do you have him? So I told him what I had on him. And he's like, what is there not to like? And I said, no. You know what the negative is? Here's the negative. Oh, he doesn't have a lot of carries. I'm like,
perfect.
Alvin Kamara. We learned that lesson. That's not a negative. That's a positive.
That is actually.
Plenty of tread left on those tires.
And the funny thing that was mystifying to both of us about Alvin Kamara.
Because I think
we both had first round grades on him.
Yeah.
It's just. What are we missing?
Yeah.
Like, when he's falling on draft day, his name hasn't been called. Like, what are we missing? Like, I've seen everything. Like, he can catch the ball out the backfield. He can do all the things that he was doing in New Orleans. He showed at Tennessee. And so it was a big mystery. But I think the search for the next Alvin Kamara, the next Christian McCaffrey, the guy that can do that, he is going to go. And he's going to be drafted a lot higher than most people expect.
No question. A bunch of other juniors here. We'll have a chance to dig into those as we go forward. We're going to have plenty of time to talk about all these underclassmen as we get towards the draft.
I did hear this one comparison. Devin White, I got a lot of Roquan Smith.
I like Devin White a lot, and you'll find out on my list. I have him in the top 15 players. But I thought Roquan had a little something. Roquan had a little more snap to him.
A little more juice, a little more pop.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I heard that.
Great
from
player.
A few.
Really good player. But I have Roquan over him.
I heard a few different things of him. And the other guy that people said, like, people going to kind of peg him as their, hey, this is going to be my third round guy that I'm going to get.
Which means he's going to go in the second, if not the first. Who's that?
Calvin Ridley's brother.
Hold up, Buck. So he's in my top 50. And he's going to run 4.55. What, hold up. Let me give you a – let's see here. Let's just – you want to do a little reading session here? Let me – I've been writing my top 50, so this gives me a chance to – like a book on tape. Because yeah. I've got – I believe I've already written him. Ridley. Let's find Mr. Ridley here. By the way, have you watched the – I put out a little video, but wait till you see the other tight end from Iowa.
Oh, I know about it. Like, is it possible that Iowa could have two tight ends going the first round? Because Hochstein is
he's an assassin.
He is a Y, meaning he is a
inline
tight end. He is a guy that you want to see attached to the tackle. He does all the dirty work. He also can catch the ball.
He's Heath Miller. He reminds me of Heath Miller.
I saw your thing. I saw you post it. And it's true. Like, he is the old school tight end that everyone wanted from Mark Bravaro to when I played, we had Mark Chimura. He is the big, imposing presence at tight end that can block in line but also catch the ball down the field. Perfect tight end.
All right, let's do a little Riley Ridley reading. Wow, that's a lot of alliteration.
That's a lot of alliteration.
All right. Ridley, good size, very polished route runner, lacks an explosive burst in his release, but he understands how to set up defenders. He's very efficient at the top of his route. Despite lacking top-end juice, he creates separation with clean footwork in and out of the break point. Very strong hands, attacks the ball at the highest point. After the catch, he's tough, but he lacks premier burst or elusiveness. Lack of production is a concern, but there are a lot of mouths to feed in this offense. Overall, Ridley is ready to contribute right away. Lacks ideal twitch, but he consistently gets open, has strong, reliable hands. And when I'm watching him and when I'm reading him and when I'm writing him and I'm sitting here going, like, I've said a lot of these same things about a guy that's catching a billion balls for Drew Brees in New Orleans.
Michael Thomas. Now, so it's funny that you brought that up.
That was the kind of in the back of my mind a little bit when I'm watching.
The scouts there around said, this guy is a carbon copy of Michael Thomas.
There we go.
He's big. He's physical. He creates separation.
Not crazy.
He can make plays. He can make plays. And there you have it. And, you know, as scouts, we're always looking for comps. We're always trying to learn from our mistakes. And, man, if we miss – on the first go around,
we're going to try and get it the second time.
We're going to try and get it in the second time. And I think he's going to benefit from that. And so in a draft where the receivers are solid, but I don't know how many guys really, really stand out, he may be a guy that you peg like, hey, if I don't want to go in the high cotton, maybe I'll get him. But I think the more people look at him, the more they're going to appreciate what he is. And the more that we see Michael Thomas dominate from that inside position, that big slot receiver,
there's a role.
There's a role for those guys, and so you'll see people continue to imitate it.
All right, I'll give you one more, then we'll move on here. We were just talking about Devin White.
Yep.
So here's Devin White. White, thick, sturdy frame, possesses prototype, explosiveness, playmaking skills against the pass. And this is one of the things. We always follow formulas when we're writing reports. We've done it forever, so people have a different way of doing it. So the one change I made a couple years ago was the way I was kind of taught to do it, and I kind of got in a groove, was you want to see, give him a vision of the body type. What does he look like physically? Then I always just did it from, I'm just going to break it down from the run game and the pass game.
Mm-hmm.
But as the NFL game has changed, if you read my reports, all of them are going to start with how they do in the pass game.
Yep.
And then, I don't care, we're talking about linebackers, whatever. We're talking, let's, how do they do in the pass game?
What do they do?
And then we'll get to what they do in the run game. So that's the formula I use. Anyways, White, thick, sturdy frame, possesses prototype explosiveness and playmaking skills against the pass, has a speed and agility to cover tight ends down the field. And he closes space in a hurry when he's in zone coverage. I mean, you can watch him against A&M. He just mirrors that tight end all over the place. Timing and burst is a blitzer. Wins the majority of his one-on-ones versus running back and pass protection. Against the run, has sideline-to-sideline range, but he will get stuck on blocks once engaged. Good, not great instincts to key and read. But even when he's a half-count late, he makes up for it with his play speed. Outstanding chest-up tackler. Overall, White has what teams are looking for at the position, the ability to run, cover, and blitz. We talk about it all the time.
I mean, that's the ability. Like, we're going to see – here's why he is going to benefit. You can talk about Roquan Smith, but what we saw last year, the impact of the second-level linebacker.
Leighton Vander Esch.
Yeah, Leighton Vander Esch, Darius Leonard. Even
Tremaine Edmonds.
All those guys were able to have immediate impacts coming in, stepping in, making big-time plays. And so we're seeing that there's a prototype, or there's a blueprint for how those guys can have success. Sideline to sideline chasers, guys that can find a way to get to the quarterback on blitzes, and guys who also can get their hands on the ball in coverage, they make plays and they impact your defense.
When you're constantly on the go, there's not much time to think about upgrading your style or apartment. That's why you'll love getting a new box of awesome from Bespoke Post every month. Experience quality and unique products at boxofawesome.com.
To get started, visit boxofawesome.com and answer a few short questions that will help you get a feel for your style. Each box costs less than $50, but it has more than $70 worth of unique gear waiting inside. The first of each month, you'll receive an email with your box details. You'll have 5 days to make changes, or if you're not filling that month's box, then simply skip it. From barrel aging kits to limited edition cigars, wingarder bags, to classy dop kits, Bespoke Post offers essential goods and guidance for the modern man.
To receive 20% off your first subscription box, go to boxofawesome.com and enter the code STICKS at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com's code STICKS for 20% off your first box. Bespoke Post, theme boxes for guys that give a darn. All right, Buck, I want to switch gears a little bit here and tell you about an interesting flight that I had. And this is going to kind of – we've been talking themes a little bit here. We'll get to another one here. I don't want to say his name, but I know his name, but I don't want to say it here. But he's assistant general manager in the National Hockey League. You know me. I don't know anything about hockey.
Yep.
But he's obviously came up on the scouting side, been around the game for a long time. And we just went back and forth asking him questions, asking me questions. And I asked him, I said, how has it changed with hockey? Because I know the rules there have changed as the rules have changed in the NFL, which make it more offensive friendly. Has that affected you in the scouting side? He said, yeah. He said, you know, we used to always be looking for guys 6'3", 6'4". We used to have, you know, if he was under a certain size, we wouldn't even look at him. He said, that's out the window. He said, really what it comes down to is we just trying to find two things, speed and skill. And I thought, man, that is so true. And that is what the NFL game has turned into, speed and skill.
Yeah, it absolutely is this. And you know, like, teams will always look to the teams that are in the Final Four and the teams that may eventually go to the Super Bowl. And they will kind of make some determinations based off of those things. And I think if we look at the teams that are in the Final Four, and we'll kind of move New England out of that because they're outlier. When you look at the Kansas City Chiefs, speed, skill, it certainly applies.
No question.
When you look at the L.A. Rams.
Absolutely.
Speed and skill certainly applies. Todd Gurley, Brandon Cooks, Robert Woods, those guys are explosive playmakers. The New Orleans Saints are a little different. The skill applies.
Kamara provides the speed. Ted Ginn has some speed.
Right. The skill part of Michael Thomas is a skilled
yes.
route runner
no
technician.
Question.
Has a way to get it
Breeze.
Done. You think about Breeze and the way that he works. Mark Ingram is a skilled running back.
Mm-hmm.
And so you are now really, really focusing on those things. And I think it also applies to the way you look at their defense. Marshawn Lattimore,
yes.
Cam Jordan. The guys that are making plays are guys that are explosive, and they have a patented skill, something that jumps off the tape. Be it in press coverage, be it in off, being a pass rusher. Those things apply, and now teams are finding a way to like, hey, we're going to take your skill set, and we're going to put it on ourselves to figure out a way to maximize it.
So one of the things that he was saying was, said, look, we're okay on the hockey side with sacrificing some size, but you've got to have special traits. You've got to have some special traits. I said, it's the same thing. We do the same thing in football. If you're going to be undersized, that means you got to have exceptional speed or playmaking
yes.
skills or something that makes you unique. You can't be small and slow. That's still is the same as
yes.
it's always been. But I was talking to another general manager today, and I'm anxious to see when you get around and talk to all these guys. I think we'll find the same theme because I was trying to get to him and I said, "What's going to change this year after what we saw this year? How is it going to affect personnel? How is it going to affect the draft and free agency?" He's like, "I need to think about that a little bit." And then we kept talking, and he said, "You know, we played in some games this year where we played pretty good, scored 30 points, lost." And he said, we've got to find more playmakers.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to find more playmakers. And the other thing, and I've had two or three different people when you're talking about goals in the offseason, what you're trying to do to shape your roster, we have got to get faster on defense. It's the same. That is the formula. It's what we talk about, creating those 12 players and trying to hit those things. Playmakers,
yep.
playmakers, playmakers. 30 ain't good enough anymore. You got to try and get a team that can produce 40 points. That's what you're aiming for. I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but that's really what teams are thinking.
Three to four teams in the Final Four
They're all four. The four highest scoring teams in the
four
league.
Four highest scoring teams last weekend. Three of those teams hit 30 or more points.
Yeah.
You have to be able to score points, and the best way to generate explosive plays, you have to have explosive athletes, dynamic players with the ball in the hands, and to create turnovers, those guys need to be dynamic.
No question.
They need to not only be able to catch the ball, but run fast, knock the ball out, those kind of things. And so the league continues to evolve. The league is changing. And as the league kind of becomes more wide open, you need more dynamic athletes. I think the guy that you had the chance to see each week, Derwin James.
Yes.
Now that we reflect on it, despite the production, he should have been a top 10 or even top 5 guy.
Yeah.
Just on the explosive traits.
It's going to benefit Rashawn Gary this year, by the way.
Absolutely. He's big. He's fast. He's physical. And you're like, man, how did we miss on that? Well, you know, he didn't have a great year. Yeah, but you see it.
Yeah.
And if the guy's wired right, you're right.
And the wiring is the other big part.
And Rashawn Gary is absolutely going to do that. I had the conversation. Had people talking about.
I heard just stupid times.
Like,
stupid times.
Oh, man, I think he's going to run like low 4.5s. He's going to go sub 4.5. And at that size, he's going to be dynamic.
We're talking about 280 pounds.
280 pounds. I had people tell me, like, man, he kind of reminds me of Justin Tuck, who was an outside guy that can play inside and sub packages and rush the passer from inside. And so as you look about the creativity and people look at Aaron Donald and how he's able to dominate the game from inside, the more you can do. And it brings me to another guy, Christian Wilkins, who is kind of an enigma from a draft perspective in terms of what do you do, because he is a whoa player, meaning you see the wow plays, and then two plays later, you're like, whoa, why is he on his back?
Ask for it, Buck. You want it?
Yeah, let's get it.
Here we go. Christian Wilkins. This is like reading theater right here. And you're in a nice, comfortable chair. You can't see Bucky right now, but he's lounging in my hotel room right now. Wilkins has solid size for the position. He's been a disruptive presence along the Clemson line throughout his career. Against the pass, quick feet and hands, wins early in the down. At his best when slanting and working through edges of blockers. Isn't a powerful bull rusher, but don't you yawn. Against the run, he's much better on the backside. Relies on quickness to slip blocks. Does a good job avoiding cut blocks. On the front side, he'll occasionally get too high, turn. Overall, Wilkins has upside as a pass rusher and penetrator, but you'll have to live with some of the deficiencies at the point of attack.
I mean, that's what he is. Like, you have to be able to work through
it. You live with some of that. It's going to be some ugly snaps. You're going to get dumped on occasion.
You're going to get dumped. He's going to leave you wanting more. But you just don't see guys that are flexible, athletic,
and explosive. I was talking to a GM today. It's just like, we've got to find interior pass rushers. He's like, when we're playing against them, you can't get away from them. I don't care how great you are coming off the edge. I can throw bodies at them. I can't do anything when they're inside.
Get them one-on-one. I mean, you saw it.
Look at Aaron Donald.
When the Chargers played against the Baltimore Ravens,
were able to roll those dudes inside.
They were able to put Melvin Ingram on a guard that was helpless.
Yeah,
I mean it changes the game. And so if you have someone that can attack the quarterback from a one technique or a three technique,
that's why
position,
Jeffrey Simmons is going to go sky high too.
It is a game changer.
It's Jeffrey Simmons from Mississippi State has some character stuff from high school. Teams have to sort through, but everything at the school at Mississippi State seems to have been very positive there. So he's a name to keep an eye on. As well. All right, Buck, we have some NFL thoughts here. We've touched on it a little bit just with these games. I know you've got a chance with – were you with Rhett? Did you do this with
Rhett? Yeah, Rhett, Nick Foles.
A little PBU. You just call him Nick Foles now, huh?
Nick Foles, yeah.
I don't know. Nick Foles is out of the playoffs, so Rhett has to get a new nickname.
Yeah.
He's still got to do some work for us. just real quick, having been at that Patriots-Chargers game, it was a masterful game plan by the Patriots. The Chargers just kind of played that soft coverage, and Tom Brady just eats them alive. Here's the thing. Most teams aren't patient enough and efficient enough and accurate enough to maintain those 12 to 15 play drives. That guy is, and we've talked about it before and said it. That's a different rule for him. So to me, I'd rather hey, let's go down swinging, let's press up, and if Tom Brady beats you over the top with those guys, it happens. But I don't know. I would have liked to see the Chargers challenge them a little bit more up front.
You know, it was funny because, like, you wondered which version of the Patriots was going to show up. I mean, obviously you heard post-game Tom Brady saying, we know everyone thinks we suck. They got a little chip. And, you know, like, this is not the most talented version of the Patriots that we've seen, but I've been around long enough to remember in 2000, 2001, this was a team that went with David Patton and David Givens and Troy Brown, and they didn't really have notable names on the outside, but they were a team that collectively played a really good version of complimentary football. They ran the ball.
Power football and death by a million paper cuts.
Death by a million paper cuts and screens and all that other stuff. And then they did enough on defense. And what I saw was, man, this team is kind of going full circle. And I heard someone talk about this and says, like, the Patriots play at a different level than everybody in terms of they experiment during the regular season to figure out how to be the best version of themselves in the playoffs. And they kind of got to the form in the last 2 weeks of the regular season and then during the playoffs, like, this is how we have to play with the team that we've presently constructed. We can't play the way that we played in 2007. We can't throw the ball all over the yard. Now let's hone in and do the things that we can do to win games. And so they are a difficult out. And this is a game where Kansas City is the more talented team. But can they knock what we call the champion out? Can they knock the Patriots out? Because I think it's a tough task for a team that has been there and is very, very comfortable living in that championship game space.
Here's one piece of advice for the Kansas City Chiefs. Go back and look at every big play that you gave up this year and practice against it, because they will adopt it, they will implement it, and they will call it. I'm sitting up there in the booth with Matt, with Money, and the Patriots are going to scream like, oh, yeah, that was from the Pittsburgh game. Pittsburgh got that one. They run another play. Oh, yeah, Kansas City ran that one against the Chargers. I mean, it's just like a collection. They just go collect plays that work. And I'm sitting here thinking, just having been there for the Chargers-Chiefs game, I'm like, oh, yeah, they're going to see a lot of stack. They're going to see a lot of stack, and they're going to make them communicate and try and sort all that stuff out because they busted.
Oh, because they absolutely busted. So they're going to give them some things to make them communicate and figure out if they've solved
motion and shift and all
issues.
That.
Can you handle the communication part of it? Because we saw them in the Chargers game. They gave up a touchdown and a two-point conversion simply on communication issues. So they're going to get
it's coming.
All of that. Yeah. It's coming. And I've said this, and people have jumped in my timeline because I said, look, the one thing we know about the Patriots, they're going to do their best to take away Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce.
Yep.
They're going to make the other guys beat them. And so they're like, oh, wait, I'm sure they tried that the first game. Yeah, they did. But they'll make an even more concerted effort to make sure, like in that game, I saw play a lot of cover one against the Chargers. Yep. And once they got up,
two man
all the
game.
All day.
Yep.
And they were like, look, we'll let you run it because we don't think, as we talk about the patience and discipline,
yep,
you're not patient enough to live
that
with this. Yep. And I think that's how they're going
and
to approach
it. For those that don't know, from a quarterback's perspective, trying to throw against two men is the worst. And they just play trail technique and undercut everything because they've got two over the top. It is hard to play against that. That's when that 49ers defense was rolling with Justin Smith and Aldon Smith and that team that went to the Super Bowl. They lived in two man because they could stop the run without having to drop a safety down. And so they just played that. It is hard to play against that defense. Can't run the ball.
Very hard to play against. And I'm pointing people back to the Pittsburgh game that the Patriots played a few weeks ago. And even though they lost, they did a great job of containing Antonio Brown. Mm-hmm. They also slowed down Juju Smith-Schuster. Now, Jalen Samuels had a big game, and everyone was excited.
Yep.
Part of it was because New England was like, oh, he can give him that. Because the explosive plays come through the air, not through the ground. They kept the score down because they made them run it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want Kansas City to get the explosive plays because the explosive plays will juice up the crowd. They're going to make Damian Williams be a factor in this game.
I was talking to somebody, not here, was on the phone about a week or two ago, and he was telling me about their defensive coordinator's philosophy, and I thought it was fascinating. He said, look, if you're getting – people used to say, like, get 4 yards on first down, stay on schedule. And he said, look, our defensive coordinator, he doesn't care. He said, until you rip off some 12- and 14-yard runs, he said, if you run 4 yards on first down, he said, he's not going to adjust. We're going to keep our safeties high. Until you prove you can get an explosive, then we'll drop a safety down. But I'm going to play high. I'm gonna give you – you can have your 4 yards, whatever you want, because the thought is eventually you're going to get off schedule and
you
all
get
that.
Off schedule,
and
you
we're
have
not
going to
give up any big plays.
You have a blown assignment, you'll have a penalty, you'll have something that kind of gets you behind the chains. And like, oh, we got you.
Yeah.
Because
people think like you're scared. Oh, man, 4 yards. Like, oh, you have all your four. I'm not driving. I'm not going to adjust. I'm not going to get out of what I'm doing until you start running some explosive
plays. I've heard people talk about it. I've heard from defense coordinators say, like, no, we're going to stop the big passes, and we're going to make you run the football. And if you can prove that you can run it, then we're dropping in.
Yep.
So it's just exactly what you're saying. It's this shift in the
it's
way
totally
defensive
different.
Coordinators are thinking, because everyone will always talk about, even when you talk to these old school coordinators,
stop the run. Yeah, but it's a different version. The way they view it is stopping explosive runs. We're going to stop explosive runs. I mean, 3-4 yards on first down, that's okay.
Because most play callers, they want the big stuff. They want the chunk plays.
Yep.
Do you have enough patience to just nickel and dime it down the field with the running game? Most people don't.
Other game there with the Eagles – I tip my cap to the Eagles. I thought that had a chance to. I thought, looking at the schedule, that was the one that could get out of hand. In fact, all the other games seemed like they got out of hand. This is the close one. In fact, they had a chance to go down and win the game late, if not for an unfortunate drop. But when you find out, you know, Alshon Jeffrey, what he's playing through with ribs and everything else, I mean, that is the word grit is overused. We've read the book. We've talked about it. But that football team, I think you got to tip your cap. So that's a greedy bunch. And the Saints, in their defense, a greedy bunch as well, to be able to not play your best and find a way to get a win.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. And I think we're seeing the four best teams in football in the tournament. Like, I think we can confidently say these are the four best teams in football. They're here for a reason. You notice their flaws are not glaring on either side of the ball. So we can talk about Kansas City and their defense. Their defense tightened up, and they have what we talked about that you have to have.
Oh, they have playmakers.
Speed and skill.
Yeah.
Playmakers up front. We've seen Justin Houston show up and make plays. We've seen Derek D. Ford make plays. And they're getting timely contributions from the guys in the back end. And so it'll continue to be interesting to see how this goes. But back to the Saints and the Rams, I think the part of this game that is fascinating to me is the Rams have stumbled into what I think is the biggest X factor in C.J. Anderson.
Yeah.
C.J.
I agree with you. I have thoughts on that. Go ahead.
C.J. Anderson has given the Rams a unique thing. They now have a big 1-2 punch.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time when you have 1-2 punches, you have a big back and a little back. The little back is assigned a role to catch the ball out the backfield. The big back does the dirty work. But in C.J. Anderson and Todd Gurley, they're very, very similar. Like, they don't have to change their offense. They're just running downhill. Yeah. And because the way they incorporate the backs into the passing game, I talked to a running backs coach today. He said, look, both of those running backs can play in the passing game because they're just check down guys.
Yeah.
Todd Gurley is used for screens, but really they play action. The running back ends up over the ball.
Yeah.
He was like, it's not like they're asking those running backs to be a Le'Veon Bell type and move all over. He said, and you're getting two guys that are really, really comfortable in this zone scheme. And he told me that what people miss on C.J. Anderson, last year he gained 1,000 yards on a Denver team.
Maybe 20 pounds, but that's not.
He's hefty. He's hefty. Yeah. He said, but he gained 1,000 yards behind a Denver offensive line that wasn't very good.
Yeah.
And so the toughness and stuff you're seeing is C.J. Anderson running behind a good offensive line is different. And so I think Sean McVay actually stumbled into a formula that gave the Rams – a better opportunity to win the Super Bowl than they were the way they were playing at the middle to the end of the season. I think they found a recipe that they can take on the road and win.
And look, I think we both picked the Cowboys to win that game.
But here's the thing.
I thought, okay, with the perimeter run game that they like with Todd Gurley, that matches up with the linebackers for the Cowboys. The Cowboys would be able to scrape and get over there. Well, I didn't realize C.J. Anderson, the hammer, was going to come out and go right between the tackles and go right at him, and they had no answer for that.
No answer for it. And I can't go back and think about the last two times that we've seen a team have two backs that they interchange and play like that. Like, you just don't see it. I have to go all the way back to when I was running the Raiders. The Raiders had Tyrone Wheatley and Zach Crockett and Charlie Gardner, but you just don't see.
I mean, we saw with the Falcons, you know, but again, they're kind of different.
Smaller backs, but like two bangers.
Yeah.
Like, geez, like it's a lot to have to deal with down after down those big backs.
No doubt. Anyways, it'll be fun to watch this weekend here. I think we've got two great matchups. I think they're both kind of pick 'em games. It'll be fun. It'll be fun to watch both rematches, right? So. These guys know each other extremely well. I think coaching definitely matters when you get in this
coaching
point.
Definitely matters. What will the Rams do? Because Thomas had a huge game, over 200 yards receiving, really worked on Marcus Peters. But now Big Brother's back. Aqib Talib comes back. Maybe he takes on that matchup. We'll see. The chess match will be fascinating the second go-round.
Got some good news for folks at home, too. You can stream every NFL playoff game live on your mobile or tablet through the NFL or Yahoo Sports app, so you won't miss a big game here this weekend. All right, Buck, anything else you want to get to before we get out of here?
No, I can't wait.
What's for dinner, by the way? Have you eaten dinner?
I ate a little something. 7:45. I can't wait to just take a nap. I took the red eye.
I got some more reports I got to write up. I don't know. They got a great grouper sandwich downstairs. Solid.
I don't think the grouper sandwich is going to be
on. You don't think so?
Not tonight.
I don't know. They got the little – I don't want – they have the ice cream parlor and like some bagels or something. That ain't going to do it. I've had Chick-fil-A twice already down here. Are we going to go back
already?
To the Waffle? Are we going to go to the Waffle House?
At some point, we get to the Waffle House.
What are we thinking? Friday?
Maybe somewhere in there. I can't peek too soon.
Dinner, though. Breakfast for dinner, though, right? Not breakfast.
Oh, yeah. That's the only way to do it.
Oh, man. You took me. It had been a decade before I had been, and then last year Buck took me there, and I've been thinking about it ever since. I can't wait to go back.
I got to take you there. I got to get you to Cracker Barrel too.
Oh, do they have Cracker Barrel?
Oh
there?
My gosh, they're all over the place.
Do you get the do you play the tee game? Do you figure out how to get down to the one tee?
I love that.
I don't think I've ever done it.
You've never played the triangle?
I've played the triangle game. I've never been able to get it down to just the one tee.
I had it down to a science, but then I forgot the formula.
Yeah. You know, Scouts is old school, but remember Scouts used to go through there and pick up the books on tape because you could take the books on tape at a Cracker Barrel, drop it off at another one. Old school scouting. These young guys don't know anything about that.
Nothing. They know nothing about it.
All right. That's going to do it for us. Thanks for listening to Move the Sticks. Thanks for downloading, subscribing. Check out all of our videos, NFL.com/MTS video, YouTube.com/NFL. There's a real humdinger of a mock draft video that's coming your way. So if you're hungry for mock drafts, it is coming. Be on the lookout for that. Appreciate you guys listening, and we'll catch you next time right here on Move the Sticks.
Thanks for downloading Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks. For more, go to NFL.com/podcasts.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and every body. The weather is getting warmer, and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great-looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection, and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.